The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Robert Whelan. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Anton.
What's the weather like out there? Has it improved any?
It is absolutely bucketing down. Well, it is in Dublin anyway.
Asked. Right. Question for your pension expert. I have around €150,000 in company pensions from previous employers, plural it looks like, that I just left there when I moved company. What would be the best option to do with these pension pots?
Yeah, okay. So this is quite typical because obviously when you're join a company, you'll pay into the company pension scheme and then you do your 5-6 years, you move on. So you have a pot left. And so for people, they have three choices. One, they can roll it up. If they're in a new company and they're paying into a pension scheme, they can transfer what they've built up into the new scheme. That may make sense. It may not make sense. They can transfer it into what's known as a personal retirement bond. That's effectively taking the pot from each individual employment and putting it into its own unique pot that you own. Without getting into the technicalities, the differences are when you use a personal retirement bond, you own it. It's in your name. In the old company pension scheme, it's kind of in the company's name, even though it's in you. It's not in the company. The company have a degree of control over it, but I don't want to get too technical, but there is, it's more simple to have it in your own name. Third option is called a peer SA, which may suit certain people in certain circumstances. Bottom line, get advice. Making the wrong decision here can cost you literally thousands.
What's the most common thing that people decide to do?
Because it's procrastination. It's procrastination. That's all. Yeah.
I assume that's the defining characteristic of everything to do with pensions. I must get to it at some stage.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Text saying, I question about pensions. I have a work pension. Oh, it's going to be one of these you're going to have to explain to me, Rob. I have a work pension with the CWPS and was paying a VCS. I stopped when I was buying a house to bring up my gross wages. I now want to start paying a VCS again, but not sure if I should start paying back into the CWPS or start a private pension. Any advice?
Well, FYI. So the CWPS, I'm going to assume it's the Construction Workers Pension Scheme. The AVCS is an additional voluntary contribution scheme, which is any occupational scheme will have an AVC scheme, right? So what they're basically asking is, can they pay AVCs without joining the main scheme? Legislatively, no. So if you want to make an AVC, because an AVC is like saying, I pay into this thing and I want to top it up. So you can't top up something, you know what I mean? You have to have the original scheme. Exactly. Yeah.
Another one asking, I'm a business owner. I worry about protecting my family financially. What advice can you give?
Yeah, this drives me absolutely crazy because as business owners, you take so many risks. You've decided to go out, set up the business, all of those good things. The one thing you can do to kind of make sure that if the worst does happen is take out some very simple insurance products. They're very reasonable. The company can pay the premium, like simply a life insurance product that the company will pay on your behalf. Income protection that the company will pay on your behalf. You can get a serious illness policy that if you got diagnosed with serious illness, you know, say couldn't return to work for 6 months or a year, that can pay out. So without question, there are the three things you absolutely must do. And most business owners defer.
Now, presumably as well, that's one of the ones that overlaps with the previous topics like pensions, which is if you do want to extract value from the company, one of the things to think about is having it fund your pension.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. And this is the big challenge for business owners today is that what do I do with excess profit? Do I take it as salary to put into my pension or do I utilize it to help grow the business? Most business owners will say, I've made some profit. I see an opportunity. I'm going to invest. Great. But eventually you're going to have surplus profits. So pension is obviously the most well-known method of trying to get money out of your business into your own name. But there are others that are available. And again, making sure you're getting the right advice there is very important.
Tech saying, I'm thinking of overpaying my mortgage, but my friend says I'd be better off investing the money instead. I have about 10 grand saved up. What's the best option?
So it depends on the needs. Right. So first and foremost, don't pay it off the mortgage. If you've 10 grand in savings and you have 1,000 on your credit card bill, the first thing you do is you clear the credit card bill. If you have 500 on your credit card bill, you clear the credit card bill. Next, it depends on your time horizon. If I need that 10,000 in 5 or 6 years time, there's no point paying it off my mortgage because I can't go sell the box room. So because you've taken 10,000 that's liquid and putting it into an illiquid asset and the only way you're going to get the money out. So if your need is, I'm going to need this money in 10 or 5, 7, 10 years time, well, then invest it. And then it's around getting the right advice around how it's invested. So it can make sense. It just needs to make sense personally for you.
Well, on that topic, if you have let's say you're on a tracker and you're paying 2%. Mm. And if you can take that 10 grand and stick it into a pension where you're going to shield it from tax, surely it's a no-brainer to do a pension based investment? No?
Financially, yes. But
that's what this is about, Robert. Financials.
We're dealing with people, Anthony. We're dealing with people, Anthony. I just had the Minister of Health on. We're dealing with people, you know, and people ultimately have to be comfortable with the decision they make. You're right, of course. Absolutely. Definitely.
Say that again. I hear it so rarely.
You're right.
One thing out of that, you talked about paying off the credit card bill. Can you explain credit cards to me? Because I have never had one. And the thought, no, because I looked at the interest rates and went, not a breeze.
Wow.
The thought of 14% interest.
14?
But that's what, isn't that what it tends to be? And higher.
22, 23, 24. No. Yes.
This is the mob.
Yes. Did you not see the one of the most best viral YouTube clips I get? And it's obviously my algorithm pits me. Is the testimony from the CEOs of Visa, MasterCard to the US Congress last year. Profit margin at MasterCard. Are you ready? 50%.
That's the margin.
50. Yeah. So how credit cards work is very simple. They encourage people, they give people the capacity to buy things they can't afford and extend the repayments over terms that they can't afford either. Yeah.
That's extraordinary interest rates. I mean,
outrageous.
So the basic rule in life, it's like the thing of a pension is always a wise thing to do. If you have a credit card debt and you have the capacity to get rid of the thing. Text saying, I'm thinking about getting life insurance, but there are so many options. Whole of life, serious illness cover. How do I figure out what I actually need?
Get good advice. Yeah, no, honestly, it depends on your needs. Whole of life is a particular solution for a certain type of client. Very simply, what an old whole of life was, the way life insurance policies were 40 years ago. You took out a policy and then every 5 years, the insurance company wrote to you and said, you're older, we're going to charge you more. You're older, we're going to charge you more. You're older. Or we were giving you, say, 100,000. So you have a choice. You can pay an extra 20 quid a month or you can have your cover reduced to 80,000. And that kind of policy got eroded the older you got, which meant that people ended up not taking them out. So the most common policy now is, and I always say, insurance is only there to mitigate a risk. If there's no risk, why are you insuring it? So if I'm 50, I'm 48 next month and I've got three kids, of course I need cover, but I'm 68. Do I really need as much cover? So it's just about getting the right advice.
And when you're looking at it, are there any wrinkles? Like, you know, the way where if you are underinsured on the value of a property, the payout is the proportion that you are underinsured by, even, you know, that kind of,
yeah,
you can end up getting stung unexpectedly. Is there anything of that on life policies you need to be aware of?
There is, but to be fair, most mortgage protection policies, which is the policy you take out when you take your mortgage, have an interest rate assumption on it, which protects, it does protect the client because it assumes an interest rate of 6% on most policies. And thankfully, we haven't had 6% interest on mortgages in a long, long time. So most people, when they died, it's actually the opposite. The mortgage balance is much less than what the insurance policy pays out.
Robert, thank you as ever. Robert Whelan, Managing Director at Rockwell Financial.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.